This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
We talk a lot about kids and screen time. We worry about teens, TikTok, and attention spans. But what happens when it's our parents, it's us, it's our grandparents, who won't put the phone down? And how do we even talk about that without sounding ageist or maybe even a little bit dismissive? Because apparently it's a real problem.
Gender, sexuality, and pop culture. There isn't much Lauren Rosewarne doesn't know. And if she doesn't, we'll make it up.
Good afternoon, Lauren Rosewarne.
Hello, Warren. Thanks for having me.
Now I can't stop.
Is that
it.
The competition song?
That's not. Thank goodness.
Right.
You could have drawn it out.
I could have just texted in.
Oh, it's very funny. You don't know what's going to happen in here today. Now, when we hear a phone addiction, most of us picture teenagers, of course. Why have older people stayed mostly off the radar, do you reckon, so far?
Look, I think there's been this assumption that it's a young person's game. But the problem with that claim is we've had smartphones now since about 2008. Mm. So that idea of the lag time that often happens with older people in technology, that's well and truly caught up now. So there's been a lot of years of data to show not only usage patterns, but also some of the problems that come about with older people using this technology. But you're right, we need to preface this conversation. There's an element here of scaremongering. I think, you know, I did some research a few years ago looking at the earliest coverage of the internet in the mid-1990s, and it was all about how this technology was going to make us all addicted. In some ways, you could say it has, in that we're all addicted because we use the internet all the time. But the other aspect is that just not part of the changing way we do stuff as well? So the fact that older people might use their phones more now, that might be in replacement of, say, television, which was what they used in another era as well. So I think we just need to be a bit careful as well that some of this is cause for worry. Some is just the patterns of how people use their time and technology differently through the years.
I wonder if these conversations were had when, you know, the telephone was first, you know, discovered. Back then,
like whether it's with technology, every technology, when radio first came, when television first came, cinema, etc., there's always been scaremongering that it is addictive, but also that it will then take people's attention away from something deemed more important. So I think we need to sort of view that, not necessarily for older people, just a sort of more general social calamity idea. That it's sometimes called technophobia, more recently cyberphobia. It's always been this narrative that the new stuff has the power to corrupt people, and corrupting people is dangerous because our attention should be elsewhere. Now, some people will view that as a very conservative view. What are we supposed to be doing reading the Bible instead? Others will say it's natural for humans to be fearful of machinery and things that take us away from humanity, and that's where that kind of fear lies, that there's something inherent about it, that much like the AI debates we'll see now and, you know, exaggerating in the years to come, is that we're fearful of technology in terms of what it means to be human and how those two impact each other.
Do you think we're finally ready to ask whether phone use later in life can become a real problem too, and not just point the finger at younger generations?
So a comedy video I saw that went viral, I think it was last month, it might have been in December, it took the Victorian campaign of the machete buyback, and it was kind of a joke around older people technology and taking technology away from older people, and that it was the answer to being scammed online or being duped by AI, etc. Now, obviously, it was a joke, but a whole lot of older people writing in the comments how ageist it was to even joke about applying the same ban for kids as it was for older people. It was never obviously a policy agenda, but there is something about this by implying that you've got the right to tell older people how to use their time and how to use technology. Now, can we have the conversation separate from that? perhaps we sort of do. You'll often have conversations, for example, how to safeguard yourself around online security, banking security to prevent being scammed, etc. But is it part of a more broader conversation around what does too much internet do to all of us, not just older people?
We hear a lot about misinformation and scams targeting older users, though. What makes them more vulnerable online compared with younger generations, or are they not less vulnerable, not more vulnerable?
Yeah, no, the data seems to indicate they are more vulnerable, and there is one of the big factors is what we call digital literacy, or being a digital native. So let's say you're, I don't know, 20 or younger now. You've never known a life, or, you know, a world without the internet, and probably without a smartphone. Now,
that's
older
amazing
people
when you say
had
that.
A time.
That's so true.
I
isn't
know,
it?
But there's going to be a older people than that. There'll be a time before the internet and a time after. Now, what that means, that sort of time before the internet, is that you've not grown up with having to critically assess every piece of data that comes in front of you. And this is with AI. There is some recent research that has looked at this. There's a 20% or 20-point gap between older people and younger people being able to discern that that's an AI-created image. So that idea of being able to say, can you tell what you're seeing is fake? Younger people are still disproportionately better at that. That's not because younger people are inherently good at this. It's because they've had to teach themselves this, if not also being taught it in school. We need to give schools some credit here as well, because that idea of evaluating material that comes before you, evaluating information, has been something they've had to do their whole lives. Not quite the same case for older people.
We're chatting with Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne about older people phones and where connection turns into concern. A couple of messages have come in, Lauren, quite interesting. Mark in Coburg says, COVID changed everything. Screens became their social life. I mean, COVID did that. I know it did it to my mum as well.
Yeah, there's a couple of elements there in terms of the COVID stuff. So I'll give an example. My own parents had never used Zoom or FaceTime before COVID, but with their grandkids living, you know, having to distance from them, it became the primary way that they communicated and kept in touch with their grandkids. So they've kept that up. That's not a technology that they used prior to COVID. I think a lot of people, particularly older people, who felt that this was an option to feel less lonely, kept that habit up. Add to that, though, there is still a lot of COVID and social anxiety that exists even in a post-COVID world, particularly if you're older and particularly if you're physically vulnerable. So some of those patterns that were picked up during COVID have stuck. So that might mean going out less, socializing less, but also using technology more.
This one as well. Ben in Richmond says, my mum believes everything she reads now. It's kind of sad in a way, isn't it?
But that's the thing, I think, that's a good example of that age divide. This isn't about mum or grandma being less smart or less savvy than a younger person. What it means, though, is this is that generation that has grown up, if you saw it on television, it had been fact-checked, basically. Right. So you're taking that same visual cues of where you've seen content before. I mean, my mum often does this where she'll read something online and tell me about it as though it was a news article. And it wasn't a news article. It was one of those endless pop-ups. But they'll often, or ads or clickbait, that will often appear on a news website down the bottom as part of ads. She's not yet in that cycle of knowing to dismiss all of those because they're trying to take you to an off-site, you know, off the news website and onto another platform. And that being critical and concerned, people like my mum, but lots of people are used to now, older people who have seen this content off a news site, it gives it a level of legitimacy, much like television once did as well. So there's that. The skill isn't there to readily assess, is this good information and where's the source?
There's a lot of talk around digital dementia. From what we know, Lauren, is the concern really about screens or about what screens are replacing?
Yeah, so this is, I think I would be cautious of seeing this as just an older person problem. Mm. I think this is actually an all of us problem in that sense that now I'll often think of this where it's like, do I need to bother remembering that fact? Because I can just Google it next week. Oh. And that idea of not having to rely on our memory palace or our own system of memorizing content because it's at our fingertips, has that made our brains lazier? And again, this is beyond you and I in terms of our neuroscience abilities, but there is research that's trying to look at this now. What does an over-reliance on this technology do to our thought processes and to recall of information, particularly when we're so used to just being able to basically outsource our thinking? AI adds another element to this as well, because AI does a lot of that problem solving, which again, we have been reliant for good on our brains to do. What happens if we stop doing that?
Lauren, we're going to become oozing blobs. That's it. The end.
That's an image, isn't it?
Doing nothing, just blob with our phones, just oozing around our phones, doing nothing.
Well, and this is that thing, isn't it, though? That's that calculation of where we want things to be more efficient. Mm. We want more time freed up. But what are we doing with that time? And if that time is just gobbled up by endless scrolling, we haven't really achieved what we thought we wanted.
No, we're going to go back to single-cell organisms soon. You and me will be talking. Beep, beep,
beep. The cycle of life.
It is. It's going right back. Lauren, always good to chat with you. I love it. We'll talk to you next week.
I look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks, Warren.
That's Associate Professor Lauren Rosewarne from the University of Melbourne.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.